What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. Yeah, yeah, what it is, people. It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. This one is special to me because early on when I started the podcast about a year and a half ago, I had this man next to me on the podcast. We did it, and it just didn't work out for some reason. We had footage issues and problems, and it was a very, very good interview, but I was able to get it again, and we're going to bring you that one, but this one is going to be special, too, because it's dealing with many things that's going on right now, today, as we speak. So you're going to get the classic one, and then we're making another classic, but let me introduce the man on my left. It's Dr. on my left. See that? It's your left, my right. Dr. Wesley Muhammad. What's going on, bro?
Peace, Black God.
Chilling. So, the book. I want to jump right into the book. How long has this book been out?
October 2016.
Okay. And people look and they don't read these days. You know, if it's not a blog, if it's not a gossip, if it's not half naked or they can't party to it, they're not going to read it. Why should Black men, women, and children read this book?
Yeah, because we need, it's not enough to know that the Black man is under assault. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. It's cliche to say the Black man gets a bad rap. The mm-hmm. Black man is assaulted. Knowing it's necessary, but it's not sufficient.
Got you.
What the book details and documents is and provides an understanding of the assault on the Black man, and why understanding is the best part. It's the cream of the crop, because knowing that there's assault and assault doesn't necessarily equip us to be able to sidestep the assault. An understanding of the assault, how the assault comes, the various vectors of the assault, allows us to sidestep it. Brother Doggy Diamonds, most of us don't know that every single one of us, every single day of our life, is to one degree or another a victim of the assault. Mm-hmm. If we knew of the various ways in which we were assaulted, we could escape. But we don't know that even when we jump in the shower, we are assaulted. Now, we should be hygienic.
Break that down. Because they might be like, you want me to stop washing up? Break that down.
No, definitely bathe. But the water is absolutely weaponized with estrogen mimickers, endocrine disruptors. Now, we shower, but we can counter this means to counter the assault. And that's why understanding is the best part. We know it, understand how it's coming, but more importantly, understand how to sidestep it.
So how is somebody, because when I think of estrogen, I think of soy. I think of different, that's why I don't drink soy milk.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be no tofu.
Soy is the devil.
Yeah, I don't do that. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that. A long time ago. So y'all just getting some of y'all just getting that information now, but he said that a long time ago before I was born. So before he was born also.
That's right.
And so I never partook in that. So when you say estrogen, that's a female what's the word I'm looking for?
Hormone.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Like,
yes, sir.
Testosterone is the men, estrogen is the women.
Yes, sir.
But we do have both of them.
That is right.
But when you have too much estrogen,
that is correct.
You are a little, yeah.
Too much estrogen and too little testosterone.
Yeah. So for a shower, how do you avoid that in the water? Is it special water filters you got to get or something?
Well, you can't shower in Fiji water. But I only drink, and it's not sufficient just to drink bottled water, because a lot of the bottled water is weaponized. But we certainly should not drink tap water, but of course we have to bathe in tap water.
Got you.
However, our diet, depending on our diet, we can counter, we can neutralize the excess estrogen that's unavoidable. There's certain things that are simply unavoidable. Mm-hmm. But we can counter the effects of them. So while we cut, we minimize how much estrogen we expose ourselves to in the environment, that which we have to, we can't escape, we can neutralize it by the right diet. For example, you mentioned soy, and soy is the devil of beans. Mm. The god of beans is navy bean.
Gotcha.
Navy bean. The navy bean literally neutralizes the effect of the testosterone conspiracy and the estrogen assault. That's what we're talking about. Those 400 pages in that book can be summed up with these words: the testosterone conspiracy and the estrogen assault. The plot to lower the black man's testosterone, raise his estrogen, and in the process, not only feminizing him, but giving him cancer. The antidote to that is this little navy bean that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to eat. It both helps to raise testosterone and it helps to neutralize estrogen.
Mm.
So the diet, a proper diet, by proper I mean specifically, Brother Doggy Diamond, the diet prescribed by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I know there are those who like Dr. Sebi's diet and this diet, and I love Dr. Sebi. But the diet that will protect us, shield us against this assault, is the diet specifically prescribed by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Dr. Sebi got it wrong on milk, and Dr. Sebi got it wrong on marijuana. I'm sorry.
So, I had a bean pod today, by the way, and My camera broke.
So you just boosted your testosterone.
Because my camera, you know, my camera brothers could tell you, I'm always getting a bean pie regardless. So, you know, I actually love them. And also navy beans, when you get the, I don't prescribe anybody to eat out of the can, but if you got the Heinz vegetarian beans, those are navy beans also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Beans. Well, no, I can't say that. I don't know about.
Well, they're supposed to be navy beans, right? Yeah, I think they are supposed to be navy beans. They're white, and I think they. Well, don't quote me. Just look it up for yourself. But I always thought they was. So, was it something else with the yam that you're not supposed to eat?
Yeah, we don't. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we don't eat yams.
No sweet potato pie.
No, sir.
Wow.
In fact, the origin of the bean pie is as a replacement of our sweet potato pie.
Got you.
Sweet potato pie was damaging to our system, but the so-called Negro in America loved the sweet potato pie. So, in fact, the history is the savior, Master Farid Muhammad, invited the Muslims, because this navy bean is such a medicine, it's a panacea.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited the Muslims to be creative and find many ways to use the navy bean, many dishes to make with the navy bean. And I'm assuming it was a sister, came up with the
pie.
Navy bean pie as a substitute for the sweet potato pie, to wean our people off of the sweet potato pie that we love, but is damaging to our system. And it was replaced with that which is restorative to our system, the bean pie.
So in this book, when you're researching, how many man hours is put into research? And the reason why I'm asking you that, because a lot of y'all YouTube people don't research.
Yeah,
y'all just go for what he said. And if he said it, being that you like him and you worship his personality, and I'm not talking about Dr. Wesley Muhammad, I'm just talking about any man in general. He said it, so was law. For you, I'm pretty sure you've heard different things before, but how many hours did you spend researching to make this book?
Yeah, I take this new generation of YouTube scholars or microwave scholars, I take it very personally.
I can imagine.
Because good scholarship requires an inordinate amount of work, because it requires being responsible with the material and producing with integrity. So if I told you my work schedule, how much I'm in the lab, mm-hmm. it's not even the lab, it's my war room, it would be intimidating. I'm blessed because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan brought me to Chicago to do this. This isn't a hobby of mine.
Got you.
This is full time. Yeah. And by full time, I mean literally 24/7, 365. So this is what I do professionally, not for in you, between.
Not for YouTube.
Yeah, not for YouTube or in between my job, in got between you, my 9-to-5.
This is
I
your
pick
job.
Up a book. So because it takes a lot of work, time, and care to be right. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be exotic. And see, that's the problem with the YouTube scholarship. Well, not just that's a problem with this generation of scholarship. We spin exotica. We just want to impress or tickle ears, so we come up with the most exotic tale. But I would always say the one question that black people should ask anyone who comes before us to teach us something new. So one question. Where you get that from, bro? Mm-hmm. Require every single one of us to document our claims, provide our sources so that we can vet our sources. Because just because you quote something, you could be quoting a fellow YouTube scholar. So we must be forced to submit our sources to public scrutiny, which is why in all of my books, I still maintain the old apparatus, footnotes, mm-hmm. not endnotes, footnotes, so you can see immediately. You don't have to go all the way to the back, because you may forget what you're looking for by the time you get there. You can see immediately what you want. The source, if I said something on page 9 that pissed you off or raised doubt in your mind, incredulity, you can go right to the footnote and to the source and vet it yourself.
How do you feel? I feel a way when I see Minister Farrakhan meet with certain individuals, rappers, artists, singers. And excuse my language, but it always seems like they kiss his ass in person. And then when they leave, they don't take nothing that they talked about with them. That bothers me because for you to be able to come before a man like that and just talk to him for 10 minutes, I know he's going to give you something that's life-changing. So you have artists, you have rappers, you have different people that he'll meet with, have, you know, extensive talking to them, and then they leave and say, buy my liquor. Where the hoes at? And I'm like, you didn't learn nothing from the, like, he didn't impact your life in no way, because, and I want to get your take on it, but if you notice, out of all the entertainers, which one of them sell water? None of them sell water. They all sell us liquor. So I'm like, how do you meet with the minister and say, yes, minister, yeah, you're right, minister, you're right, and then go off and say, buy this liquor? How do you feel when you see that? Do sometimes you want to say, oh, we not messing with him no more? Or do you, how do you, you know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, very, very good question. I've been privileged, Brother Doggy Diamonds, to actually be in those sets where some of these great artists had the privilege of meeting and getting counsel from the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan. And I have to say, what is taking place is not there kissing the minister's butt. Mm-hmm. What you will see is a display of Black God protocol. Everybody who comes in the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his very presence, he exudes Black God energy.
I know.
So everyone who comes in his presence who doesn't come with malicious intent mm-hmm. is forced to bow down. Not necessarily literally, but when you see me in the presence of the minister, I always bow down. That's black God protocol. Just like when I meet any black man, I bow down because I'm bowing to the God in him, because I know that there's a God in every single black man greater than the God in me, as I have a God, a attribute of God that's greater than what you have. I learned that from the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. He bows before every black man and woman that he sees, acknowledging the godhood of them. The minister compels black God protocol. And the artist, it's actually a fascinating sight to see, because these artists come from a world in which they are God. Mm-hmm. The artists are the gods, especially the rappers. The hot rapper is the god of the black community. God is a being of power and force. God don't mean you good. All gods aren't good. Yeah. but all gods are powerful. God is a being of power and force. And the rapper, especially the hot rapper, whatever mm-hmm. rapper is hot at the time, has the power to influence black life like no one else. So these are hot rappers who in their world are gods. But when they come in the presence of the Honorable Brother Mr. Louis Farrakhan, they acknowledge who the God is. That's black God protocol. So I don't begrudge them for that. I, too, am with them in submitting to black God protocol in the presence of the minister. Now, do I feel some type of way when I see them benefit from his guidance and wisdom, but then leave him and do what they do? There was a time, to be frank, years ago where I did mm-hmm. Feel some type of way about that, but then I observed the minister's way with them. The minister does not ask them to stop cold turkey. The minister doesn't ask them to have a public Pauline experience. Mm-hmm. You met with Farrakhan, so now you come before the people a totally different and changed man. That type of public Pauline experience may make them lose their following.
Got you.
It's a process. We in the Nation of Islam go through a process in this work, but we're not celebrities, so you don't see the slow incremental process that we go through in that. So the celebrities aren't to be denied the incremental process.
Got you. All right, that makes a lot of sense. Dealing with marijuana, everybody smoke except for me. I don't drink or smoke.
No, I don't smoke. Yeah. Or drink.
No, we're talking about the audience, because you know my followers on YouTube, many of them are smokers, and they say the weed is from the earth. They quote Smokey, God put it here for me and you. They don't see anything wrong with smoking. I've said before that it's something in the weed that's driving people absolutely insane. They laughed at me. It's on YouTube. It's documented. Where in this book can they read and get scientific evidence to support you saying that the weed is being weaponized? If you know offhand, what page could they turn to?
I have a whole chapter.
A whole chapter. You see that?
Entitled, chapter 14, entitled Dope and Weed, Manufacturing the Deadhead. That's chapter 14.
So
they say,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No, so the weed that they're smoking is not from the earth. It's from a laboratory.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They say they won't eat a grape because it don't have seeds. They won't eat a watermelon because it won't have seeds. They won't eat certain fruit because it's GMO. Could you explain to them why the weed is also GMO also?
Absolutely. First, those who say, as they do, weed is from the earth, it's from God, therefore I can smoke it. No, that's wrong. Weed isn't from the earth. or from God. The cannabis plant is. God did plant the cannabis plant in Central Asia, a cold frigid zone, thousands of years ago. And the plant that God gave the earth absolutely has tremendous benefits to it, health benefits to it. If used properly, if kept in its natural divine state and then used properly, it can be a great healing in many instances to our body and our mind. But natural cannabis ain't loud. Natural cannabis ain't kush.
Ain't moon rocks.
Natural cannabis ain't moon rock.
Yeah.
That's weaponized marijuana. Natural cannabis, Brother Doggy Diamond, those who make that argument, if we were to hand them a blunt full of natural cannabis, they would give it back to you and want to punch you. The reason is it won't do nothing for them. It can't get them high. Why will it not get them high? Because natural cannabis has a THC content of less than 1%. That ain't getting anybody high today. We need 10, 12, 20, 30% THC in order to get a buzz, in order to get lifted. Because that's what is on the street. Street marijuana has a THC content of 10% and more. That's not natural. That's grafted. If we kept God's herb in the state that God created it and used it how it was intended to be used, then we would have no argument. But what we're smoking is not cannabis. What we're smoking is weaponized weed.
So is dispensaries popping up all over? Mm-hmm. They're actually legalizing it in many places. Do you think that's a part of the weaponization to legalize it so everybody's walking around like a
Absolutely. A there woman? Is no question. In fact, they have done studies comparing dispensary marijuana to street marijuana and found that dispensary marijuana has more contamination than street marijuana. And the contamination, the particular chemicals that are found in dispensary marijuana, is not just random. Myclobutanil. What is myclobutanil? Chemical that diminishes testosterone. This is dispensary marijuana. And we document the pot plot. The pot plot is a U.S. government's effort to weaponize marijuana for the purpose of sedating, making docile, and feminizing black men in particular after the riots of the late 60s.
So right now, you know, you're going to have people say feminizing. Come on, man. He was already gay. It wasn't the weed. If anything, he got high and realized that he liked men and all that. What could we tell him from this book? How you can prove that, because you already have spoken about how you can prove that it's that weed y'all smoking right. That's got y'all wearing pocketbooks and purses and stuff like that.
Right. No, easy. Well, first understand, feminization is much broader than homosexualization.
Got you.
Don't conflate the two. Homosexualization is sexual feminization.
Okay.
There's also non-sexual feminization.
Break that down.
For example, men and women differ in many ways, but one key way in which men and women differ is our emotional profile. We tend to say women are more emotional than men. Well, that's a fact, and there's a biological reason for that. The emotional profile of women, as distinct from the emotional profile of men, is due to the levels of cerebral blood flow. The amount of blood flowing in a particular areas of the brain at particular times. Women have a higher cerebral blood flow, and this is the reason for their particular emotional profile. Mm-hmm. Men have lower cerebral blood flow in those areas, so that's why we have the emotional profile that we have, less emotional versus women, more emotional. What the THC does is enhance THC along with reducing testosterone levels mm-hmm. in men. It increases cerebral blood flow levels in men. And so the biggest problem with the black male today is not homosexuality, though that is a mm-hmm. problem. The homosexual phenomenon, I hope we can go into that.
Definitely.
The homosexual phenomenon is a problem. However, even bigger than a homosexual phenomenon, even bigger in numbers and ultimately in effect of black men who are sleeping with other men is a problem of black men being hyper-emotional and impulsive. The emotionalism of black men is a problem. And the black men now have the emotional profile of women. And if you were to do a neurological scan of these men, you would see this elevated cerebral blood flow in their brain. And it's the high THC in this weaponized weed that has increased the cerebral blood flow, making black men hyper emotional like women.
So besides the weed, because I know some dudes who don't smoke and they act like. Stack like and what you said was that's important, because not everybody who's feminized is gay, but right. It's like right. you know, it's like when you say, yo, you acting like a bee,
right
that
right.
don't mean that you like right. other men. It's just right. yo, you acting like a broad right now, like right. what's wrong with you right. like you looked at a Facebook post and you deleted me and
right.
you cursed me out that, or you text
that's
me
right. That's right.
What else is it besides the weed? We said the water.
Yeah.
We said the weed. What else is doing that to them?
The leading vector is our food.
Okay.
I made the point. Weed is feminizing the black man, and we can't leave this out, masculinizing the black woman.
Mm.
But the main agent of this assault isn't the marijuana. The main agent is the food that we eat. They did studies, Brother Doggy Diamonds. The inner city black children
mm-hmm.
have the highest body burden of two chemicals in particular, BPA, bisphenol A, and phthalates. These are horrible chemicals. Bisphenol A is an estrogen mimicker. Phthalates are an anti-androgen, meaning they specifically attack androgens or testosterone and either reduce them or prevent the production of testosterone. And the BPA is a estrogen mimicker, so it floods the organism mm-hmm. with estrogen and its effects. Black children have the highest body burden of anybody in this country of these two deadly chemicals. How? Two sources. The phthalates, we are exposed to phthalates through the fast food that we are so loyal to. No other community is as loyal to fast food as the inner city black community. Our communities are food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't supermarkets where you can get fresh vegetables and fruit and eat to live. So we are abundantly loyal to fast food, but the fast foods that we are so loyal to, the packaging has phthalates in it. In white, there's a McDonald's in the white community, but white children don't have the phthalate levels in their body that we have. It's because the food that is sent to black neighborhoods is specifically weaponized. BPA comes from cans. Mm. BPA is a chemical that lines the cans of canned food. And black people in the city, black people in particular, overconsume and consume more canned foods than any other people. So our children have an inordinately high level of bisphenol A and phthalates in our body that white children don't have. That is the main culprit, the first culprit in feminizing a black man and masculinizing the black woman. All of us don't smoke weed, but all of us eat. And when we eat in the black community, we are eating weaponized food.
What about, it got to be something, oodles and noodles too. I don't know if you know anything about that, but it seemed like in every black household in any city, they buy bags and bags and bags of oodles and noodles. And I always said, well, if you look at the packet, the sodium in that little small packet, and you putting that in a baby's body.
Yes.
They say a healthy person should only have 2 grams or 2,000 milligrams of sodium a day. You're giving a baby 2,000 milligrams in a small little body? I don't know if you got any information on that, but I always felt like something is not right with that.
Absolutely. Understand, you said, oodles and noodles saturate the black household. Everything that you see an overabundance of being made available to us, and we didn't make it available to ourselves, know of a surety that it's weaponized. So when you go to a dollar store and they sell shrimp at a dollar store,
whoa.
Know of a surety that shrimp will kill you.
Probably full of mercury and all types of
things. What's made abundantly available to us, the same principle follows. We say there's liquor stores on every corner and there's churches on every corner. So we know why our enemy makes Christianity abundantly available to us. We know why our enemy makes liquor abundantly available to us. He also makes oodles and noodles abundantly available to us. The food that he makes abundantly available to us, everything that he makes abundantly available to us, know of a surety it's weaponized against us.
Now, I wanted to talk to you about, let me make sure my 1212, why is my level? Right in the middle of the interview we doing. I'm number one, right? You're number two, right? Say something.
Something.
Yeah, you got a good level. My level is
big. Yes. I don't know what's going on. Okay,
but I'm pretty sure. Oh, there we go. All right, we back. All right, so another thing I wanted to ask you, with the YouTube, where do I begin with this? It's no filter, so I'm going to have to be straight with it. No, I've seen in the past few months, many people on YouTube, and I can't single out one individual, it's many different individuals saying some nasty, vile, horrible stuff about the minister, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. How is that to be, well, I don't need to know the inside of with the Nation, but how do you, because you are a defender of Farrakhan. You and other brothers are that's you're a defender of Farrakhan. We know this. How do you deal with that? Because it's a 2-part question. I know that you was on a debate circle, and you was willing. You said whoever won it could get this work. A lot of people ran.
That's a fact.
So now, 3-4 years later, the work is being put out there. Do you refute it? Like, what do you do in those situations?
Yeah. First, my retirement from the Negro debate circuit.
Okay, got you.
I didn't retire from the debate circuit, but after the third debate, and same, and every time, I publicly said, I'm done debating Negroes who parrot the white man's propaganda. I said, from this point on, I want the white man. I want your master. So I'll only debate the enemy. I'm done debating the Negroes. So I publicly declared that, and Sarnetta will tell you they offered me thousands of dollars to come back to debate. But I'm a man of my word. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I would not have said that if I didn't mean it. And I never got into the debate circuit for money.
Gotcha.
So I can't be enticed back into it for money. So I retired from that circuit because I'm not going to debate my people over white man propaganda. You
gotcha.
Want to parrot the white man, I want to debate the white man. Now, those who make a living slandering the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan, you know, being in the conscious community for 30 years, being in the nationalist community for 30 years, I've noticed that, especially recently, those who want to acquire status or position in this community, their rites of passage is to attack the throne. There is no more revolutionary. There is no leader of black consciousness with the record that the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan has. None. He sits at the top of the hill of the movement to resurrect and heal black people. And so this new Jack generation, the same generation of YouTube scholars, the same generation of highly emotional men, it's a rite of passage to them in order to get some status in this community is to attack the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam because we are the standard. You know, understand when you do that, you are conceding the point. We are the standard. So in order to lift yourself up, you feel that you have to try to denigrate us. That's cool. We don't have thin skin. Critiquing the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan is not a sin. You can be critical of the minister, but be critical with respect. It's an 85-year-old man whose work, he's an elder in this work. No one will countenance being disrespectful to any of our elders. Mm-hmm. I was professionally critical, but respectfully critical of Dr. Chancellor Williams. I never slandered him. I was purely scholarly in my critique of his work, yet I'm hounded as a disrespecter of the elders, and those same ones would turn around and scandalize and slander the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan.
And the Honorable Elijah
and
Muhammad.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, no, I do take it personal when, and those with me and like me take it personal when we refuse to put respect on that man, not just his name, but on his work. Even if you disagree with him with respect. And so, yeah, I am a defender of Farrakhan, and every one of us in here are defenders of Farrakhan. We don't defend all the same way.
Got you.
All of us are defenders of Farrakhan.
The names, I just couldn't get with the names. Again, like what you said, scholarship, ideology, way of life, many of us don't agree. But to call a man gay.
We won't even repeat the slander.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But what I didn't get is why so much anger towards the minister, what did he do to you?
Yeah.
How did he harm you? How did he harm your family? Now, some people might say, well, this is why. Then you might say, I get why you're upset. But let's find a way to resolve it. Some people are taking a scab that don't exist and making one and peeling back. Because I'm going to be real with y'all. And this is me speaking. The argument of Minister Farrakhan having something to do with killing Malcolm X is old, it's tired, and it's corny. Let me tell you why I'm saying that. Because if you was a follower and a believer in Malcolm X, you wouldn't live the way you do. So you don't even care about Malcolm X. You just care about gossip and beef. You still, a lot of y'all still eat swine. A lot of y'all are still savages and uncivilized. So my thing is, don't use something against somebody because you don't have nothing to use against them. Have something that's going on in 2018 where you feel like he XYZ didn't have your complaint, and then you could write, brother, he's on Facebook. Yo, he's publicly available.
And I'm not just on Facebook. I'm here.
I'm not a social media. No, but I'm just saying, if they wanted to get at you, you're not hiding.
I'm here. I'm not hiding.
You're not hiding. And they can ask you, and you could give them, you know, clarity on many things, because like he said, this is an 85-year-old, you know, grown-ass man who don't got no time to be playing with little boys talking foolishness, you know. And my thing is, it ain't whether I agreed or disagreed with what they were saying. It just was the disrespect I just couldn't take. I was like, no, I'm not. I can't stand with that. I can't co-sign that.
And I appreciate that. And we as a community, especially the conscious community, we owe that man more. The irony is, every one of them who are disrespecting a minister like that, they will say that they were birthed into consciousness by him.
On the Nation of Islam, period.
Or the Nation of Islam. But now, because you have a disagreement with him, you scandalize and disrespect him, but we, the community, owe the minister more. We should be checking them, because the black community is the beneficiary of the sacrifices made by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In fact, I'm going to say this. As bad as life in black America is right now, I'm saying, and I can prove it, the reason black life isn't extinguished, the reason the homosexual assault isn't as successful, isn't more successful than it is because of the Nation of Islam, but in particular, because of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I can prove that the minister is the reason the Nixon administration's plan to operationalize Operation New Kill against black America and slaughter black New York in particular, the reason that didn't happen, the reason President Nixon pulled back, was because of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I can prove that the reason the wrench thrown in the government's, in the synagogue of Satan's plan to totally gender neutralize the black community is the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan. So all black life, whether you Christian, whether you Muslim, whether you atheist, all black life owes the minister a thank you. At least we owe him the respect to, when we see these fools being disrespectful of a man that serviced us so well for so long, we should check them. But when we remain silent,
you co-signing it. That's how I feel like you co-signing.
We let these punks come sideways out the mouth on a man, put their mouth on a man like that, then we are complicit, and the consequences come down on all of our head.
How do you feel? I feel like when I think about the Nation of Islam, I think about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first and foremost. And he's the, well, Father Muhammad is his teacher, but he's the teacher of Malcolm X, Minister Louis Farrakhan, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. But it seems like everybody wants to separate who they love from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Right. They want to say, well, Malcolm wasn't with him no more.
That is right.
Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad wasn't with them anymore.
Right.
But even to the day they died, they always will let you know most of their teachings and most of their knowledge came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
I would do you one better. The Malcolm X that y'all say y'all love is strictly and specifically, I'm talking about these black revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some Negroes, they made Malcolm palatable to the Negro.
So
you got Negroes that love Malcolm now. But I'm speaking specifically of these so-called revolutionaries. The Malcolm that you love is specifically the Malcolm that was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Be real clear. Y'all mad at the Nation of Islam for being Muslim. And our Islam is totally black. Our God is black. The devil is white. But you want to reject us, but hold up. Malcolm and Malcolm went to Mecca and came back spinning a lie. Malcolm had already been to Mecca in 1959. He saw white Muslims in the Middle East. Or he went to Arabia in 1959. He saw white Muslims in the Middle East. He didn't discover anything new in 1964, but he came back. He went to Mecca. A black revolutionary, black Muslim, he came back talking about the white man can be saved. But y'all continuously say the white man can't be saved. And I agree with you. But in that case, then why do you hold up the post-Elijah Muhammad Malcolm X? The Malcolm that y'all love, the Malcolm that was hard on the white man, was the Malcolm that was with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When he left the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he absolutely publicly got soft on the white man. But be real clear, Malcolm, before he died, he was trying to come back to this. So if y'all really love Malcolm, if you really follow Malcolm, follow him to the end and let him lead you back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Nation of Islam.
So they don't love Malcolm X. They love El-Haj Malik Shabazz, basically.
No, they don't love El-Haj. They claim El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, but El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz is the one that came back spinning the story about good white people in Mecca. The same white Arabs that had black slaves. And the irony is, the white Arabs that enslaved Africans are specifically the excuse that these Negroes give to stay away from the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, they say y'all better.
Yet you love El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, and he lifted up these white Arabs who enslaved Africans. No, they don't love El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. They don't love Malcolm X. They hate the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
And they're using Malcolm as an excuse, as a cover for their dirty religion of hate for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which is born. It's not a genuine hate caused by an insult. It's hate based in envy.
I got a nice Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad story I love to tell. He used to ride around in Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his Quran with him. But I don't know if it was a book. But he was coming to my corner store. And he went to get a grape juice from the corner store. And they wouldn't let him in. It was 24 hours. And he said to the man in the store, the Arab man in the store, he said, "You know what? You're taking a lot from their community. You're not putting nothing back in to their community. You won't even let them in the store. One day they're going to kill y'all. And I can't save you." And he walked off. And I was like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? And then I look at, the reason why I'm saying all this to say, when you look at our communities, we don't own one store. We own nothing in the whole community. It's not even a community no more, because community means you know the police officer, you know the mailman, you knew the milkman, you knew the everybody, you knew everybody. Now it's all foreigners, you know, in where we live, taking over, and then almost looking at us now like, what are y'all doing around here? In these places that we was born and raised. They also use in the Dr. Khaled story also that he was against the minister and he was the new Black Panther Party. True or false? Because I heard somebody say that Dr. Khaled always wanted to be back in the nation to the day he passed away. I don't know if you would have that information, but is that true or false?
I don't have that information, okay. Unfortunately. I don't know what was in my brother's heart at the time he passed. I can't speak if, and certainly I was not in his company to hear any articulations. If those who were around him then speak such, then I would have to defer to them. I don't know what was in my brother's heart. However, with Dr. Khaled, I got to say this. This is no filter, right? There's no filter. The Dr. Khaled that y'all love is the Dr. Khaled that was made not by just the Nation of Islam in name, but the process that is the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam is a process. The Nation of Islam is a life. In this process, this life makes a product, a fruit of Islam. That's why we're called the fruit of Islam, the product of this life. The Malcolm X that we love is a Malcolm X that was a fruit of this life, Islam. The Dr. Khaled that y'all love is a Dr. Khaled that was a fruit, a product of this Islam. So you who want to be Khaled, you can't touch the hem of Khaled's garment, except you, the only way you can even try is to come through and submit to the process to be made a product of the life that produced him. So you want to love and be Khaled, but you don't want to come through the process that Khaled came through. You don't want to suffer the process that Khaled suffered. Look, man, Malcolm and Khaled they experienced their struggles publicly. But be real clear, their struggle, their walk wasn't peculiar to them. Their struggle is the very struggle of every FOI that is in this life for longer than 5 years. It's inherent in this process. But because they had a bigger platform and all eyes were on them, the world watched them go through their process. But Brother Paul goes through the same process. Brother Jabril goes through the same process. Brother behind the cameras. Mm-hmm. Brother Wesley goes through the same process. It's that process that produces the fruit. So you cannot love the fruit and hate the tree. Be real clear. The tree of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad is not his mother or his father, but may God be pleased with them. The tree of Minister Malcolm X is not his mother and his father. May God be pleased with them. The tree of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad is the Nation of Islam, not in name, but in process. The tree of Minister Malcolm X is the Nation of Islam, the process, the life. So if you want to be like them, you have to. It's non-negotiable. You got to come through this route. You got to live this life. You got to suffer these scars in order to achieve the even hope to achieve the greatness that they achieved?
Malcolm X's daughter publicly said that the Nation of Islam had nothing to do with the murder of her father.
And she's right.
Professor James Smalls told me personally, and I got the footage out there, you can go to Doggy Diamonds TV and look at it, that Minister Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had nothing to do with the murder of Malcolm X. He said that, so I know a lot of y'all love Professor James Smalls. And he worked with Malcolm.
That's right.
Why do you think people, all right, like, this is two, this is his child, his child, you're not his child. And this is somebody who walked with him, was a part of his organization, actually took over his organization
That's
when
right.
he passed.
Right.
Why do you think people won't stop there? Why is that not good enough for them?
Oh, it's real easy. Because they aren't the authors of their thoughts. The Farrakhan killed Malcolm slander did not originate with these poor Negroes. The U.S. government... See, they put Malcolm on a stamp. A stamp. See, true Malcolm lovers should have been furious, should be protesting the stamp, because you know what the implications of that.
Mm-hmm.
If once the white man sanctions you, the government that killed him then gives us a stamp with his image on it, and there was no national outcry. There was no protest. See, we are fish in the school of the white man, and as he directs us, there we go. Malcolm has been weaponized. Malcolm is raised up, resurrected by the enemy to weaponize him against the cause of Islam, specifically the Nation of Islam. Malcolm X has been raised up to be weaponized against the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan. Now, let me be clear. Ya Allah, Minister Malcolm X, that day to this day, was one of the greatest black men that ever lived. I was inspired. No one who would be honest, whose heart isn't filled with malicious intent, with envy, can deny the greatness of Minister Malcolm X. His life absolutely should be an intense study for every black person on the planet. I'm gonna say that again. Malcolm X's life, I'm saying, should be an intense study of every black person on the planet. Why? Because in his strengths, in his successes, are powerful lessons for us. And in his weaknesses, in his shortcomings, in his errors, are powerful lessons for us. We need to learn from the successes of Malcolm. We need to learn from the strengths of Malcolm. But we also need to learn from the weaknesses of Malcolm. We need to learn from the errors of Malcolm. And if we learn from both, no black person can come out of that study not a better human being. But that isn't why he's on a postal stamp. He's on a postal stamp to be weaponized against the Nation of Islam, and in particular, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is the government and the Jews who keeps putting it out there, despite his daughter, despite those, not just the testimony of those who were with him, but the critical research makes it abundantly clear who did and who did not kill Malcolm X. But the government and the Jews keep seeding that idea because they want black people to think the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan killed Malcolm X, because they want black people to stay away from Farrakhan. They don't love Malcolm. They weaponize Malcolm. And we are a school of Negro fish that go where the white man lead us.
Homosexuality. I grew up in Brooklyn, lived in Staten Island. The gay people always existed. They were on television. Most of them were black entertainers and drag, basically. You know, growing up, I always saw, well, of course, I don't remember Flip Wilson, but I remember seeing, like, replays. I remember seeing every entertainer put on a wig at one point. But now it's like, I used to say, like, yo, is this something they drinking? And then this funny that you gave, information you gave, really. But I was like, it can't be, like something is wrong. Many people believe that they were born this way. But then I always raise the question, well, how did you have 3-4 children, was married with a husband, married twice, and then now your physical appearance changed from a woman to, you know, your shoulders broader than mine, your arms bigger than mine. But they really believe that this is who they always were, and I'm coming out. How could we get people to understand that this is really, really being forced onto you mentally, physically, spiritually, and economically? Because there's money in this. Mm-hmm. It's money. It's how could we get them to understand via your information, but then I also want to refer back to the book?
Well, two things. What you just said, Brother Doggy Diamond, is right. There is the deliberate pushing of homosexuality on the black community with the intent of homosexualizing the black community. So there is the propagandizing of homosexuality in the black community. And the 2013 Williams Institute report said that there are 1 million black LGBT in America, 1 million, 200,000 of which are transgender. Of those 1 million, there is no doubt that many of them fall in the category that you just described. They were propagandized into the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But I would also submit, Brother Doggy Diamonds, that those whom you just quoted, who said, I was born like this, them too, many of them, are right. Mm-hmm. But what we document, they weren't born like that because God shaped them in the womb like that. They were born like that because what I document is the white man has mastered from the 80s. He had mastered multiple scientific methods of inducing homosexuality, or in their language, inducing gender inversions, inverting gender. Scientifically spawning transgenderism. It is a fact that we documented. It's easy for this man to do, and we document the many mechanisms, the many ways in which it is done. And it is a fact that sexual orientation and gender isn't social. Let's be real clear. Gender isn't a social construct. The feminist lie. Masculinity and femininity are biological realities, specifically biochemical realities. This devil has mastered inducing a feminine neurology in an XY fetus in the womb. In other words, a male fetus in the womb. This devil has mastered feminizing the neurology. So when that XY fetus is born, he has the physical equipment of a male, but neurologically, he was already feminized in the womb. And so he is treated, because on all physical appearances, he's male. He's treated as a boy. He's raised as a boy, but neurologically, he is a female. They cause androgen deficiency in the womb. That's how you neurologically feminize a XY fetus, by purposely interfering with the testosterone splurge at 34 to 41 weeks. They've mastered the science of scientifically inducing homosexuality and transgenderism, what they call gender dysphoria. When they feminize the neurology but leave the anatomy masculine, the physical male who's neurologically female suffers from gender dysphoria. So of those 1 million black LGBTQ, which is a phenomenon, it's a huge number.
Yeah.
200,000 of which are transgender. Some of them are in that lifestyle by propagandization, but a huge core of them were absolutely birthed that way from manipulation in the womb. And I can show you, and we documented the various targeting of the black woman's womb, targeting the pregnant black woman with BPA, targeting the pregnant black woman, not just a black woman. There's a reason the target is the pregnant black woman, because the target is that male child in the womb by causing mischief during the fetal process or embryological process. You can cause gender dysphoria in the womb, and these people will come out looking like men but thinking like a woman, or looking like a woman and thinking like a man.
Is that in here also?
Absolutely.
What chapter is that? That's very important. Because I think I'm going to do a live stream and read some of that off to them and then have them go get it for themselves.
Creating the Lady of the Races, Science and Black Homosexuality. That's chapter 20.
And in this book, as I'm looking through this book, like he said, everything has a number, so you can go at the bottom of the book and look it up for yourself. So he has all his sources. Every page has sources. So it's not like, you know, he's dealing with emotions or dealing with what he thinks, dealing with what he read. So he had to read other books in order to write this book. Before we close, is there anything that you want to say to the people out there? Oh, one thing. Knowing what we know, based off of what's in this book, based off of many other studies, how do we combat what's going on?
And that is the point. What facilitates this assault, the success of this assault, is our perpetuation of the lifestyle of death.
Death style.
We live
that's what
a
I call
death
it.
Style.
Yeah, it's not a lifestyle, it's a death style, yeah.
Our reality, the reality of black life in America, is a death style. Much of what we celebrate
is death.
Is a death style. Death style that was orchestrated and engineered by our enemies, and the perpetuation of which is facilitated by our enemies, but we can cease and desist. I said that every one of us, well, most of us don't know, every day we wake up, between the time we wake up and the time we go to bed, we've been assaulted and don't even know. But we can come out of that. We can avoid the landmines, but it will change. And this is the hard part. It's easy to read that book. It's hard to change our lifestyle. But that is, reading a book is going to make us aware, but it ain't going to save us. Changing our lifestyle is what's going to save us. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave the black man and woman, not just the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the messenger to all the black people. That's why his book is Message to the Nation of Islam. No. Message to the black man in America. He is the messenger of all black people, and the life that he prescribed for us is the lifestyle, is the antidote to this assault. If you wanted me to offer a solution that does not involve submitting to the life prescribed by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then you will be and continue to be disappointed, because the life that he prescribed is the only solution to this problem. Example, he said don't eat soy. These black vegans, y'all are sophisticated with your dietary health. You have a vegan diet for the soy, but some of you know. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, leave that soy alone. And so now a lot of these vegans have man breasts. A lot of these vegan women are very, they're thin, but they're very masculine in their way, because soy is an estrogen mimicker. And estrogen, excess estrogen in men feminizes men. Excess estrogen in women masculinizes women. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the one that said, don't eat soy. We didn't want to listen to we eating soy. And so now brothers walking around with man boobs and sisters walking around with deep voices. So there is no escaping submitting to the life. I don't care about your religion. It's the life that's prescribed by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that is the healing. He said, and I close on this note, BPA burdens our body like no other people. The main source of BPA, this feminizing chemical, is canned foods. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught the sisters at MGT class, the only group in America who had that training before BPA was a problem. He taught the sisters to can with bottles. Mm. Stay away from canned food and can your vegetables and food in bottles. And so by following him, following that simple instruction, we would not have had the BPA exposure that we have, but we reject the messenger of God. We like to cite his name, but we don't want to live the life he prescribed, and we today are bearing the consequences of that. So what is the solution? Submitting to the life prescribed for black people by the God of black people through the messenger to black people.
So you heard what he said. Get you some mason jars. Mason jars, right? That's the bit. Get you some mason jars. But you know what's funny though, right? White people do that. Like, they don't eat out of cans. They eat fresh fruits and vegetables, and they use,
that is a fact.
Yeah. They don't eat, like, when if you go to Trader Joe's, there is no canned foods in
that
Trader
is a fact.
Yeah. Like, or rather, there's no canned vegetables and stuff like that. A lot of it is, well, it's there, but they don't buy that. Let's just say that. And a lot of times when you look at somebody and y'all deem them to be your enemy, so don't play stupid now. Your enemy is not, they're going to feed you something that they don't eat. Like when you go in a Chinese restaurant, you don't see them eating hairy chicken wings.
No.
You don't see them eating none of that stuff. They don't eat French fries. They don't eat none of that stuff.
That's a fact.
Most of they might do is eat a soup or some vegetables. And they have their mouth right up to the bowl like this and they eat that. But you eating all that processed fast food and giving it to your children. Now, I always say you do whatever you want as an adult, but give the child a chance.
That is right.
Give a child a chance. Cook your children food.
That's right.
So, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, I thank you for coming through. I thank you for requesting me.
I couldn't come to New York. This is my brother, Dr.
Yeah,
Diamond.
This is like, you know, I'm happy. I'm going to get this. Shout out to Waqil Allah, too, for his book.
Peace, God.
Yeah, I got his book also. I'm reading that. Read that. Rather, I finished reading that. And I thank you for coming through, man. Anytime you come to New York City, I would like to chop it up. It's always so much new information coming out. And I mean, so many things, like me and you, I think we could talk for probably like 5 hours straight. Real. You know, so we got to find a way to not overburden them. Yeah, the listening audience. But this is valuable information. Again, you can get this book right here. You can see it on here. You can see it on here. You can see it on every camera that's available in here. Give them the name of the book.
Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood, and Black Masculinity. And that's not a redundancy. Black man, Black manhood, and Black masculinity are related, but they're not the same.
Okay, so because we got I got so much other, like, this ain't no script here. We vibing, so it's so much I could talk about. But this right here, this is going down Monday, right?
Yes, sir. For Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
We're at Muhammad Ma's 7C here in Brooklyn. I'm honored to deliver the keynote address this Sunday. Please come out. If I could read the address, I'm not from here.
It's Pennsylvania Avenue.
202 Pennsylvania Ave, number A, Brooklyn, New York. Please come out, family. I haven't spoken at Muhammad Ma's number 7C yet. This will be my first time. So I'm uber excited. Shout out to Student Minister Henry Muhammad, the local representative of the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan here in the city of Brooklyn. He's opened his shop up to me, and I am very thankful. That Sunday at 11, please come out and join your brother. And Monday, brothers, if I could see that.
Yes. Hold on. Let's just do this real quick for them. So you can see that. And
most
then
know that Monday night, in the Nation of Islam, is committed to the training of men. Monday night is the man's class, a manhood training class. For the first time, certainly the first time in recent history, per the desire of the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan, our Monday night FOI class is being opened
to the public.
To the male public.
Male public. Okay. Clear. Okay.
The male public. Brothers, join us. Same place. Muhammad Ma's number 7C, 202 Pennsylvania Ave, Brooklyn, New York. Monday night at 7 p.m. You don't have to be a registered or processing Muslim to come to this manhood training class. And we are urging all of our brothers to come to this men's meeting Monday night at Muhammad Ma's number 7C.
All my Crip homies, all my blood homies, all my Latin King homies, all my neutral homies, come out. You know, all my Nation of Gods and Earth, 5%. You say 5. He told me before. He's 5%.
I'm 5%.
Yeah.
No doubt. to the day I die. Yeah.
One more thing I have to talk to you. This is very, very important because this is pertaining to me and you. Colorism. A lot of times when I speak, now, I'm a black man. My mother was a black woman. My father was a black man. But because of my complexion, people always want to say what I'm qualified to speak about pertaining to black people, like because I'm light-skinned. Yeah. And I know that you probably deal with that. That's why I'm glad to talk to you about that. How do you, because I know the way I deflected and you deflected is probably different. I'm a little vulgar. But how do you deal with colorism? How could you scientifically break down colorism with darker-skinned black people telling me what I can't talk about with black people because I must have white in me because I'm light-skinned?
Yeah, that's infantile. There's phenotype and there's genotype. Phenotype always differ. The blackest people on this planet Earth, meaning the darkest, the most densely pigmented people on the planet Earth, they ain't in Africa. They're in South India. So Africa is brown. compared to South Indians.
Some of them are green out there.
If you're going to go by melanin content, then they wear the badge of blackness, not Africa. Africa don't got the badge of blackness. South Indians do, but that's phenotype. They say the irony is the people of Africa, talking about this colorism thing and anti-light skin, the people of Africa that many of these Afrocentrists want to make, the original population of the planet Earth, the so-called pygmies of Southern Africa, they aren't black, they aren't brown. They are distinctly yellow-skinned. Short and yellow. Well, one, that gives the lie to them being the original African population, because if the pygmies, so-called pygmies, with their yellow skin and short stature, were the original human being, then that tall-statured, black-skinned Sudanese could have never developed. You can't get the dominant from the recessive. You can only get the recessive from the dominant. But even beyond that, the poster boy for Afrocanity is a yellow-skinned people. The so-called pygmies are distinctly yellow, such that early anthropologists just swore that they were mixed with Chinese because their eyes are slanted and their complexion is yellow. So if their Africanity of blackness ain't questioned and they high yellow, don't question mine.
And on that note, see, I needed that. Because a lot of my people, you know, they know my heart and they know that I ain't white. All right? And I'm not going, yeah, but and the only reason why I'm saying that is that that's very, very stupid of our people. That's it's causing separation within us, because many of us are lighter in complexion. But our parents, you know, we see the black. Y'all just got to study. That's it. I was about to give it to you, but nah, y'all got to study, because I don't want y'all to take my word for it. Do your studies.
You stumble the global African community, that will kill the colorism, because the global African community literally has 16 shades. I was distinguishing between phenotype and genotype. The black phenotype varies, but the genotype is what distinguishes a black man from the white man. The genotype of the black man is heterozygous, dominant and recessive gene. The genotype of the white man is homozygous recessive. He got two recessive genes.
And on that note,
check my genetics.
Yeah, exactly, man. Check my G code. You know what I'm saying? So I'm Doggy Diamonds. Make sure you get this book. I'm gonna put the link in the description box down there. So when you get a chance, I want you to get this book. I'm gonna put the Amazon and I'm gonna put directly his website. So Dr. Wesley Muhammad, I thank you for coming in, bro.
And I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? And on that, we out of here. Peace.
Peace, man.
All right. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Did this.